the word of truth. And I found an error, or if not, I'll call it an error that's been found under the sun. And one of the errors is that we as ministers, as people of the faith, we have failed miserably to test everything with scriptures. And I say that to say this, because I'm not going to say everybody, but most of the people who preach, they only preach what they hear their man of God saying, or a woman of God saying, or what a book said, without any scriptures or evidence to support their argument, and not even an argument, or their truth. And unfortunately, when we're talking about the word of truth, the word of truth, and I mentioned in our last video that this is where I want to start for the month of April, even for our streams, our podcast, is rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to understand that there is, to rightly divide the word of truth that's found in the book in 2 Timothy chapter 2, says rightly dividing the word of truth. There is a past truth, current truth, and a future truth. So you take out that future truth, past truth, current truth, you can take it out and place it here in the present, and it becomes a lie. So a lie is a truth that is taken out of context, okay? What did Satan do? Satan tempted Adam and Eve, and Satan tempted Adam and Eve and went to Eve and said, did God tell you to not eat out of the fruit? And she said, yeah, God told me that. And he's like, you surely wouldn't die. He didn't lie. He actually used the truth and perverted it to become a lie. So Peter, right, is Peter in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, be established in this present truth. That means Peter was in a everybody else was in a certain truth, but Peter was outside a certain truth. Why? Because rightly dividing the word of truth. The future has a truth, the present has a truth, and the past has a truth. You take them, especially with people who like to move in the prophetic. And this is why it's so very important when moving in the prophetic that you will understand and discern the time and the truth. Because you can take a future truth, put it into the present, and it becomes an error. And like vice versa, you can take a past truth and bring it to the present, and it becomes an error. So therefore, those of you who like all the glamorous and name callings and prophetic words and stuff like that, just be very, very mindful that the truth, the word of truth, has past, current, and future. Take either the one and it becomes a lie. That's what a lie is. The lie is the opposite of a divine truth, right? Jesus Christ says the knowledge of Jesus Christ, right? There are three things that I mentioned that I really want to touch base on. And it's three ways that you can measure a truth. And one is a logical consistency. The Bible talks about confirmation. Whenever God speaks, there's a confirmation. Logical consistency. The second thing will be experiential relevance. And what it means is the proof. Scriptures yet again tells us that it was, when you look into the book of Genesis, as in the days of Noah, there were giants that walked the earth. Yet science has done nothing but prove God, which is, science is not against God. It actually proves God. The frustrating thing about science is that science literally just, again, they just want to take things and bring it to you without hoping that God isn't real. But science yet again proves that God is real. Yes, mommy. Sorry, that's my daughter. The science literally says, the Bible says that in the book of Genesis, there was giants that walked the earth. Yet again, science proves that. Science takes DNA and shows fossils and everything of a different species called the Denisovans. And you see that science yet again proves it. It proves that God is real. When you look into, that's called experiential relevance. When you look into geography, Geography says sometime in AD 30, 70, there was a time where darkness covered the earth. When you look in history, somewhere along the lines between AD 30 and AD 70 is where the crucifixion of Jesus Christ happened. And what does the Bible say? Darkness covered the earth. Yet again, science proves God. So science is not against God. It actually proves that God is real. The third thing, which is, I believe, is a lot of things. This is the place where a lot of Christians mess up. And not only do they mess up, but fail miserably, is empirical adequacy. Empirical adequacy is practically pretty much the demonstration. We have a lot, you know, to give you an example, the book of Quran says that mentions Jesus Christ. It mentions that Jesus Christ is the only prophet out of all the prophets that will return. The book of Quran. The Quran says that Jesus Christ is the only one, the only prophet that is yet to return. And when the disciples of Muhammad asked Muhammad, show us the proof, what did Muhammad do? Pointed to Jesus. I don't have the proof. In other words, I don't have the proof, but Jesus has the proof. Empirical adequacy. And the reason I say a lot of us fail in this is because a lot of us, we complicate things. And we look into scriptures and we try to over-spiritualize scriptures when the gospel of grace, the gospel of grace is so simple, it's to the point. The gospel is simple. That's it. It's too good to be true. That's practically what it is. The gospel is too good to be true. And we try to over-spiritualize it to a degree and to a point where we look at the book of Revelations and we see what's happening with COVID and Bill Gates and 5G. We're so quick to say, oh, 666, the mark of the beast. When the first few letters in the book of Revelations chapter 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation is a revealed truth. So therefore, if it belongs to Jesus Christ, it is already revealed. So therefore, there is no need to be looking deep in scriptures and connecting scriptures. The book of Revelation is the most simple book in the Bible. Yet again, we're told different. And the reason I'm bringing this up and I want to elaborate the word of truth is because the gospel, when we talk about what's written, logos, written word of God never changes. Logos is the basis in terms as to where we get our scriptures, our revelations, everything. Therefore, Peter says, be established in this present truth. He was talking to an audience and he said, you're establishing this truth, but I have a different truth that I'm already established. As ministers, I'm not saying by no means am I saying that your man of God is wrong or any church is wrong. By no means. As a minister of the gospel, we actually have the weight on our shoulders to preach the gospel based on the revelation and knowledge that people understand. Point blank. So by no means am I saying anybody wrong. I am just saying that it's very important as Christians to take everything and reprove it with scriptures. If it is not in scriptures, it is not revelation. Therefore, the scriptures back up every single thing that is said, every single revelation. Jesus Christ is the perfect theology. Jesus Christ said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So therefore, when we talk about salvation and this thing called salvation, which I will answer in the book, I will answer it this Thursday. I kind of had to take you on an unspoken mark, which is simply there in Revelations, but we read too quick. You see, so it is very important that everything we do, it doesn't matter. And that's, I guess that's where we as Christians kind of fail in a way, in a degree, and I put myself in that, because we hear something a man of God says, and we're quick to go ahead and be like, no, he's a man of God, and this is what he said. When scriptures are scriptures, we are to test everything with scriptures. If scriptures tells you otherwise, and you cannot support an evidence, then point blank, that's it. And the reason why I did the unspoken mark, and I took two parts to kind of explain, before I answer my question, if you can lose your salvation, I took two parts to explain this, is because I have to take you into a journey to understand spiritual understanding. And the moment you understand spiritual understanding and you understand truth, then you can understand the basis in terms as to where my answer is going to come from. Okay? For example, We have the book, The Rapture. I already spoke on that, and I'm going to touch base on that on another day in the end times, where the word rapture is not in the Bible. However, the word says the gathering up, caught up, which comes from a word rapturo, a Latin word rapturo, which is hapatza. Hapatza means rapture. So you're not going to find rapture in the Bible. However, is there rapture? Yes. The Bible says that we will be caught up. The word caught up, hapatzo, rapturo, there it is, a rapture. So therefore, it is very important for those. In fact, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Is the more revelation of Jesus Christ you have, and the more you understand Jesus Christ, the more you enter his grace, the more you enter his prayer life. In fact, the interesting thing is prayer, what prayer is and what defines prayer is, prayer is whatever comes in, comes out. That's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So therefore, faith comes by hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing God. So therefore, what you have inside comes out. That's what prayer is. If you have, all you have inside of you is junk, all that comes out is junk. The Bible says that if the light in you is darkness, how great is that light? So therefore, the more of the word of God that you have in you, it is the more that you, the basis in which you can make things happen, in which you can allow things to happen, because the word of God says how great the light is in you. If your light is corrupt, how great that darkness is in you. So therefore, when it comes to prayer, the more the word of God you have, the more faith and grace you have. Faith and grace is interchangeable. Where there's faith, there's grace. Where there's grace, there's faith. Faith and grace is the same thing. So therefore, the word of truth, what is the word of truth? Get back to Logos. Logos is the written word of God, the revelation that never changes. But a lot of us fail, and we just speak and we preach on what we hear another man of God say, or woman God say, or a book has taught us, and we end up preaching and preaching and preaching. And then when we find ourselves in unforeseen circumstances, we shake. And we have no way to back up what we preach. We have no way to back up what we want to say. And for example, I'll give you an example of divine healing. Some people say, oh yeah, but you know, divine healing, and we come up with some type of theology that, you know, this is not so, it's this way. God calls us to be sick, or God uses people, or God kills, and this and that. We come up with a whole bunch of horrendous teaching based on our experience. When the Bible says, rightly divided the word of truth. There's a past truth, current truth, and future truth. You take any of those truths outside of its timeline, it becomes a lie, no matter how you see it. The devil never lied, he used the truth. He said, did God say you really shouldn't eat out of that evil? Yeah. God said, yeah, God told me not to eat it. He said, why? You'll surely die. You won't die. Did he lie? No, he didn't lie. He took a future truth, put it to the present, and it became a lie. So that's what lie is. A lie is taking the truth out of its timeline and using it for your benefit. It becomes a lie. So therefore, when we say rightly dividing the word of truth, it is to reprove everything in scriptures. The book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, of reproach everything through scripture. The foundations of the apostles and prophets based on scripture. So therefore, if it is not, if you have no scriptural evidence, or you cannot back it up with scripture, it should not raise theology. It should not, it shouldn't, no way. For example, if you look into the book, into the New Testament, and we see, oh, God kills people. That was a truth. But and then you see Martin, you see the Old Testament when we get to Exodus, because Genesis is not the Old Testament. We see it as the Old Testament, but it's not the Old Testament. We look at Genesis, and then we look at Exodus. Exodus is when Old Testament started. Because Genesis, the book of Genesis, there was no New Testament or Old Testament. Because in Genesis chapter 6, it says that God saw the land, and he saw that it was evil. And he said Noah found grace. Grace before New Testament even occurred. So therefore, the book of Genesis, there's no Old Testament or New Testament. Old Testament started when the Israelites came out, and God gave Moses the commandments. New Testament occurred after the resurrection of Jesus. When Jesus lived and Jesus resurrected on the third day, the New Testament occurred. We look into grace and we say, and we look into this and we're like, wait a minute. Oh, but this. Reapproach the scripture. Scripture tells us, and if it's not scriptural, then it shouldn't be revelation at all. Because we see, oh, God kills people. That was right so in the Old Testament. But New Testament, you will never see. Please tell me a verse. Put a verse down that says, in New Testament, Jesus caused somebody to die. New Testament. You're not going to see in the New Testament where Jesus said, I am killing you. Nowhere in the New Testament says that. Nowhere in the New Testament. And I stand firm in that. I stand firm in that because the New Testament is the New Testament. There's Old Testament, New Testament. And until you understand that, then you will understand the word of truth. Because in the New Testament, there's no way where you're going to see that Jesus says, I am going to kill you. In fact, the New Testament shows different. It says, be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Loving like Jesus Christ. Love, love, love. And then we have people who take love and we take it and take it from the future, put it into the present. Then we have a gospel of grace in which overextends beyond what scripture tells us. So it is very important that we understand scripture. We read scripture. Because how you pray and the outcome of your prayer and how your prayers are answered is through scripture. Through scripture. Okay? So if you have not done so, tune in on Thursday, a live video, where we're speaking about the unspoken mark, part 2. And I am going to answer that question of, can you lose your salvation? If you have done so, my wife posted the our Facebook page there. We will be live on this Thursday. So God bless you guys. I pray that this has been a blessing to you. And again, if it's not in scriptures, do not allow it to raise as theology. It is our due diligence to read scriptures and reprove it. Again, logical consistency, experiential relevance, and empirical adequacy. This is where we fail. We cannot show proof of the Jesus Christ we preach, then we fail. Okay, so it's not true. So therefore, God bless you guys. I pray that this has been a blessing to you guys, and I will see you guys on Thursday. Peace.